For our text this evening, let us turn to the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 16, verse 6 to 12. As I would like to enlarge on the theme of the message, not only the Pharisees and the leaven, but we'll consider the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees. Matthew chapter 16, verse 6 to 12. Then Jesus said unto them, "Take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees." And they reasoned among themselves, saying, "It is because we have taken no bread." Which when Jesus perceived, he said unto them, "O ye of little faith, why reason ye among yourselves, because ye have brought no bread? Do ye not yet understand, neither remember the 5 loaves of the 5,000, how many baskets ye took up, neither the 7 loaves of the 4,000, and how many baskets ye took up? How is it that ye do not understand that I speak it not to you concerning bread, that ye should beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees?" Then understood they how that he bade them not beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. By including the Sadducees, then we can have an understanding of all the evil doctrines that went counter to the teaching of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Here the word leaven is used in a bad sense. The leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees, meaning their doctrine, their poisonous doctrine, like arsenic put into the drink, that when a man drinks, he will be killed, he will die. How terrible these opponents of Jesus were. As you read through the Gospels, you see Jesus all the time in confrontation with them. And the first passage that we read tonight, the hypocrisy of the Pharisees is 11. Pretending to be so pious and good, and in fact so correct in their procedures, but they forget the greater things of mercy and love, and justice, loving kindness, totally out of their religion, but they could go by the law, making many more laws themselves, so that it is known very well that the Jews had 613 laws. So much so, there was a lawyer who came to thinking to trip Jesus, because he thought that he just passed his LLB exam. Now he's a lawyer. 613. Jesus never went to school. And so he asked a question, which is the great commandment, the greatest commandment? And he was completely floored and surprised. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength. That's the greatest commandment. And the lawyer could not say anything. But Jesus added one more point. You ask the greatest commandment. I ask you, what is the second commandment? It's the horizontal. And love the neighbor as yourself. From that time, nobody of the lawyers dared to ask Jesus any question. Well, the lawyers and the scribes were the theologians, they were the copies of the Bible, and they knew the scriptures very well. But not in the spirit of truth, rather in a spirit of self-righteousness and fault-finding. The leaven of the Pharisees. So Paul, in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, there refers, let the church, we must cast out the leaven, the old leaven, the leaven of malice, evil things that are in the church. Here, of course, refers not only to doctrine, but to practices. For we are a new lump. So the Pharisees were constantly being rebuked by Lord Jesus Christ. And he said to them, woe unto you, Pharisees. He gave them no uncertain warning. They were those who are blind guides, the blind leading the blind. So they both will fall into the ditch. That is another terminology that the Lord Jesus Christ used of the Pharisees. Now the interesting thing is that they were, in a certain sense, fundamentalists. Like today we concentrate on the importance of the doctrine of salvation. They believe in the resurrection. Paul said, I'm a Pharisee, and for the question of resurrection, I'm called. The Pharisees believe in angels, in spirits, in God. Though these were correct, they were wrong on the horizontal. Many, many things that they did, but they were devourers of widows' houses and of orphans. These things are connected with the Pharisees. How come they were called Pharisees? The name is a good name too. Separatists. That is also so much in our vocabulary. The word Phares and then Pharisee means separate. Separate from what? Separate from sin. They were a group of religious people arising within the Jewish church, particularly after they had come back from the exile in Babylon because of the sins of their fathers. Jerusalem was completely burned down, the temple was destroyed, and for 70 years they were in Jerusalem. And of course they learned a very good lesson. Since they wanted to worship idols, the Lord sent them to Babylon, where there were even more kinds of idols. But they were cured from their idolatry. They were purified through this very gruesome experience of being taken to Babylon. So when they returned, they were a group in the church that stressed on purity, on separation of the sin from evil, which was a very good thing. But then when it was carried to extremes, to the point that because there was a man who picked up several sticks on the Sabbath day to light the fire, and so God said, stone him. But he was stoned not because he took up sticks, but the Bible says that they were presumptuous when the law was just given, and they went against the Lord, their God, with impunity. That was the whole point, why they were stoned. Why this man was stoned. So the Pharisees developed the doctrine that you must not do anything about fire on the Sabbath day. When I was in Jerusalem, my host told us, you know, these things are all worked by clockwork. It is coming to Sabbath day this evening already. And of course, we have the lights on before 6 o'clock, and we light it. But in the middle of the night, we can not go and search it, because we'll be breaking the commandment of lighting a fire or not lighting a fire. Well, that to us was really swallowing a camel and straining a fly. And that is another proverb that Jesus used against the Pharisees. Important things, you just don't take, just swallow it. And small things, you will strain it out. You cannot switch off the light
during Saturday night. It's a Sabbath night. But the clockwork will do it. You must already so arrange at what time you'll go out. And that is another description of the leaven of the Pharisees. Well, now, how about the Sadducees? From where did they come? The word Sadducees comes from the Hebrew word tzaddik or Zadok. There was a priestly line of the Zadokites who were the chosen ones of all these priests. Finally, the house of Zadok was chosen. So they belonged to the priestly house, priestly party. But these are those who were so well educated in their theology, it seems, that now they go overboard and they become skeptics. They were those that Jesus mentioned in Matthew chapter 23 there. They are those who do not believe in the resurrection. While the Pharisees are fundamental, they believe in the resurrection. The Sadducees are the liberals and the modernists of the day. They do not believe in angels. They do not believe in spirits. And so they came also to tempt the Lord Jesus Christ. Tonight our theme enlarged is the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. And so there are two points. One about the leaven of the Pharisees that persists to this day. And then the other is the leaven of the Sadducees that not only persists to this day, it is Sadduceeism, the doctrine, evil doctrine of the Sadducees, that is so detrimental to us today. Now, first of all, we'll consider the Pharisees. Is there the doctrine of the Pharisees today? Of course, no, don't. If you call anyone a Pharisee, that would be a horrible word. How can there be Pharisees? And yet, there are those in the church, there are those who are of a certain sect, there are those that are of that attitude. They are the most holy. They are those who pass remarks and judge others. When you hear of somebody who has been killed in an accident or something like that, I heard one preacher denouncing the person. There was, God, you see, took him away because he was a backslider and he was so and so and so and so. But the Gospel of St. Luke tells us very clearly that those who suffer in an accident, they're killed because of misadventure. You don't say anything to say that it is the judgment of God, but rather you to judge yourself, lest you would also fall in the same situation, for it is for us men to repent and only God to judge. When something serious happens, we should bow and say, Lord, have mercy on that person, but have mercy also on me. Well, the Phariseeism is to judge. Isaiah says that they adopt a holier-than-thou attitude. Well, to prove the point, we come back to the Gospel of St. Mark that was read just now, chapter 7. And you read the first part that the disciples, when they come back from the market, they do not wash their hands and they eat. And the Pharisees were very critical. How is it that your disciples don't keep to the rule of the church? The elders, the traditions of the elders. You know, you go to market, you touch these things, there are many germs, you know. You should cleanse yourself. Jesus himself never washed his hands, or did not wash his hands, because here is his retort. You think that by washing your hands, then you are more clean. But let me tell you, things that enter into your system, they do not go into the heart, he says, but it goes into the draft. It goes out of the body. So if anything is unclean, it goes out, it's all right. That's why I've got this doctrine. Sometimes I see people that are so meticulous, a nice piece of biscuit drop on the ground. Immediately, it's useless. They throw it away. I said, you are made of earth, you know, you're made of dust, just like the dust on the floor. Eat it. There's nothing to be so meticulous. So they do not wash their hands. They're unclean. Jesus says, what is unclean is that comes out of you. Now you think of yourself. Anything that comes out of you is unclean, not that which goes in. See how beautiful and vividly Jesus puts it. And then he goes on to tell them, for it is written, out of the heart of man proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness is lustfulness to the extreme, an evil eye, that means a jealous eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness, all these evil things come from within and defile the man. Jesus says, you are talking of the outside only to be clean. But you never examine yourself, that out of you, even in your thoughts. And my teacher, Dr. Chia Ming, has pointed out a very beautiful truth. The sins of the flesh, of course, are bad. But the sins of the mind and of the spirit are 10 times worse. In the list that Jesus Christ has given here from the Gospel of Mark chapter 7, the same passage, he talks of evil thoughts that defile you. And you talk of unwashed hands that defile you, but your evil thoughts will defile you even more. Then the carnal, then the outward. Deceit. Cheating. Put up a very good front. And then you take advantage of people. An evil eye. Jealousy. Blasphemy. Speaking those words that defame God. Pride is a number one sin. I. If you read Isaiah chapter 14, there, the spirit of Satan 5 times says, I will do this, I will ascend, I will be with God, I will be over the mountain. I will sit in the very high place. These defile a man. Sometimes certain sect leaders will come out. And we say, well, what is the evil doctrine that he has been giving? Oh, he believes the same thing. The resurrection, angels, spirits, the Bible is God's word. Fundamentalists too. But they get into such an extreme and they begin to become Pharisees. To set many rules. To say that these things, if you do, then you are bad. That is a new Pharisaism. Lately, I heard a story about a certain American missionary. He came to Life Church and preached at our church 30 years ago. At first, he seemed all right, but very soon I detected that he was rather cultic. He's an extremist. He's still in Singapore. He has a small church, but very beautifully decorated. And he attracts a certain group of people. And this young lady who has been very zealous in the church is now taken over by his very subtle preaching that from her I learned what are the extreme teachings of this American missionary. First of all, he says, we cannot keep Chinese New Year. Why? Because the Chinese New Year is full of heathenism. and you worship at the Chinese temples, and you kill the pigs, and these pigs are offered to the gods, and then you also pray. That's true. Chinese New Year with those heathens. But the Bible never teaches that you must give up all your culture. The Bible never said that if you are Chinese, now you must learn Hebrew and Greek. But rather in heaven, all the people from all nations and tongues, and they sing praises to God in their own language. In fact, Chinese New Year is a very good culture for Chinese. As it is for the West, Christmas is a time that the whole family comes together. In a Chinese culture, insofar as Christians are concerned, we also celebrate Christmas, and it's a very wonderful time when the family can meet. But it is in the Chinese New Year that our three-tier family will get together. And how I miss that wonderful times with my parents. Now I'm the patriarch, I'm the oldest in the Tou family, you know, so it's my turn. But usually Chinese New Year, I'm out, and the Lord has sent me abroad. So it is a good thing to come together. Another thing he says, do away with the hongbao. Never touch the hongbao. You don't do anything with it because it is a Chinese red, and that's hidden. He does not know how good the hongbao is until you receive it. The hongbao, he said, this red is hedonistic red. Therefore, you cannot use the hongbao. It may be so. To me, it is not the hidden. It doesn't remind of the hedonistic red. We are far away from that old culture. I rather thank the Lord for it. The red reminds me of the precious blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses from all sin. But the Chinese hongbao is a most versatile, wonderful way of expression of our love and of our feelings and sentiments, whether they touch this area or that area. Let me give you an illustration. The hongbao is a very good thing in Chinese culture. But the American missionary, not having learned of these deep things, a little knowledge is a great danger. You must not touch a hongbao, hedonistic red. The hongbao can be used in so many wonderful ways. We give a hongbao to our parents. That is an expression of love. Our parents, of course, are old, age-old parents. And there are all these greats, you know, to whom to give what. As a father, I give to my children to express my love. Friend and friend. We bring offering to the Lord. The Lord has given me so much hongbao, I give him a tenth. But the hongbao is a very good thing when you forgot to wrap up your wedding gift to someone, and suddenly you said, now there's no time, get a hongbao, put more money in, okay, there's a fine. and give you a friend. That solves the problem very easily. When two parties quarrel, and you want to make up, and you feel very shameful to say, I'm sorry, never mind, but you put a hongbao and you give it to a friend, well, that settles it. It is an acknowledgement of your humility. So many uses of the hongbao. Only thing for funeral, don't use hongbao. That you have got to understand. He doesn't know how good the hongbao is. You cannot use a hongbao. Christmas. Oh, you know, the Christmas tree, that was also associated with idolatry, and Christmas is Christ Mass. But we don't take these things. You cannot have Christmas because you do not know is December the 25th or not. We are not worried about the day. So somebody said, you cannot keep Christmas. This man also said the same thing. I answered him, but the Bible doesn't say that you cannot keep Christmas. Is there any rule? You want to make a big feast for your dad? for his big birthday? Is there any rule to say you cannot do it? I thank God, insofar as the baby church is concerned, while even the Lord's Day is every Lord's Day is a resurrection day. From the very beginning, the baby church has stressed giving special time and worship to commemorate the birth of Jesus Christ and give special time and worship to commemorate the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And the Lord has blessed the BB Church having this tradition. I do not know about Calvary, but the Lord has blessed Life Church mightily, especially at Christmas. We say Christmas is a time specially for charity to remember those that are worthy and needy in every field. And the offering is the biggest at Christmas because you get your 13th month and many bonuses so that people can really give more. Last year I preached a message on the first love. And I felt that I did not have the first love. I've cooled off a great deal. So to challenge the members, I said, let us express our first love to the Lord this time by giving 3 times, trebling our gift. Giving is loving, and loving is giving. Those who are in love can understand what I say. When they newly meet, the boy will give everything to the girl will give everything to the boy, until they get married, then they have different bank accounts, right? The first love is already dwindled. And I really thank God that our people really rallied to the triple giving. And it was a matter of great rejoicing because then we have the money to do much more good. All right, these things that American missionaries said, you cannot do. This is Phariseeism. Minor things. Oh, you can have any jewelry at all. Because Peter says it. 1 Peter chapter 3, and not by the wearing of gold and a plating of hair and so forth. I learned it from my professor in America that Peter was not saying that you must absolutely never have any kind of jewelry. It's not to stress on putting, some people, they put on too much gold, they want to show off their marriage gold, the women especially. Well, in India, some of them had their hands cut off when they snatch a gold. Peter is not saying that absolutely no. One thing I agree, this is a very good thing when you are a young lady and you wear a gold chain with a cross. Now, why you wear the cross? Because the cross protects me. Then it's a charm. Please don't do it. But if you wear the cross to tell young men who look at you, I'm a Christian, no? You're not Christian, better don't look. Then the cross is very good. It is a taboo. Peter did not say that you must not wear it, wear a small gold cross. It's not an absolute statement. It's a thing to stress that for Christians, we must be temperate and not overstress on these things. All right, he says, any girl, you come to my church, if you wear anything, well, it's taboo. So all the girls who go there would not dare to put on anything. And it's Phariseeism. New Phariseeism. You cannot have any TV. I did not have a TV in my house when my children were growing up, and I said to them, I think it's good for you. When you grow up, you can have your TV when you have graduated. All right, I have a TV in my house now because my grown children are with me. But the important thing is that you don't be a slave to the TV, but to condemn anyone having a TV, it is just too much because the TV is very useful. When wartime comes, they'll flash over the TV. This is an announcement. When you use it in the right, be master of the TV and not be a slave. But another way to condemn it totally. Oh, Life Church, they have TV. They are very, very worldly. Can you say that? So much for the Phariseeism that has taken away some members of my church who fall to this thing of modern P Puritanism and modern Phariseeism. You judge for yourself. The important thing is not to stress on this, do this and do that, cannot do this and cannot do that. Our message is not all the time the Ten Commandments and ethics. Our message must have the centrality of the cross. Must tell people the grace of God, how he can set us free from all the entanglements of sin by his precious blood, by his power. When Dr. John Soong came to Singapore and there was a great revival, of course he rebuked every sin. But he gave forth the word of God, the cross of Jesus Christ. But one of his followers, he started a church immediately after that. As the years went by, he began to stress so much on rules. A girl cannot perm her hair. Well, you cannot use a lipstick. That one I quite agree with him. I think the ladies here will not like to hear very much about that. But I think again, you have to be very sober. But it goes right down the line. You cannot do this, you cannot do that. What happens to the church? Finally, it dwindled to just a very small congregation. We want to hear the word of God that brings us the living word, Jesus Christ. He is the one who saves us. Now we come to the leaven of the Sadducees. And the leaven of the Sadducees is to deny the main doctrines of the Bible. And it seems that this has been the doctrine of the modernists and the liberals. And yet today we have great names. J.I. Packer, very well-known fundamentalist theologian and writer. John Stott, another one. Harold Lindzel. And you can go right down the line. And you're today hearing that there is a movement when evangelicals and Roman Catholics are now one by a declaration that they made in 1994. We must treat all our Roman Catholic brothers as one in Christ with no difference. But in so doing, they have given up their doctrines. Not too long ago, there was a bishop of the Church of England, the Bishop of Durham, number 4 bishop in the hierarchy after the Archbishop of Canterbury. And he denied on the radio, on the BBC, the virgin birth of Christ, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, that there is no hell, and all these fundamental doctrines. Then they took a vote. There are about 50 bishops in England, and well over 40 supported the Bishop Durham to deny all this. So much so that lately there is a statement by a Dr. Bishop Taylor to say that there is a hell, but there is no fire. And I said, well, because he lives in an aircon parsonage all the time, he never feels the heat. There is a hell, but there is no fire. It's another denial. The leaven of the Sadducees, denying all through. I would like to point out to you that this denial is even more subtle today. You don't hear it so much on the pulpit, but they come into the church in the form of study Bibles. Do you know how many study Bibles there are in English in the world today? For a long, long time, for many years, there was only one study Bible, the Scofield Reference Bible. And the Thomas, there's a chain reference Bible. There were only two. Today, there are at least 48 to 50. All kinds of study Bibles. Even women's study Bible. It is only for women. All kinds. And I pick up one called the Evangelical KJV Study Bible.
edited by Harold Linsell. And with him, the two famous names of J.I. Packer and F.F. Bruce, all down there, and they look at the Isaiah passage. Isaiah 7:14, the prediction of the virgin conception of Emmanuel. Virgin shall conceive and bear a son, a child. You know what it says? Evangelical Study Bible. This prediction refers to Isaiah's second wife. Well, we have no such evidence in the Bible, but that's how they conclude that being the new girlfriend of Isaiah, because the first wife died, of course she was a virgin. And so the prediction is that this virgin will give birth. But of course, when she's married, she's no more virgin. Oh, they admit all of that. But this was symbolic, and it actually adumbrates, it points to the virgin birth of Jesus Christ by Mary. And in the case of Mary, she remained a virgin, but not Isaiah's wife. However, it applies first to Isaiah's second wife, and a son was born through her, and then in a remote way applies to the Lord Jesus Christ. You know how it takes away the glory of the Lord? But Matthew, in his record, all this was done, it might be fulfilled. What the prophet has said, that a virgin shall conceive. And the Greek word that Matthew's record is truly virgin, and you cannot argue it in any other way. He did not say that it applied to Isaiah's second wife's son, and then in a remote way, he applies to Mary. I would like to say to you that the Bible is, these study Bibles are very, very cleverly worded. They're always put in two ways. Yes and no. Other people also say this. You do not know which one to accept. But God made one tongue for you, right? You have to say yes or no. Who has two tongues? The snake. The hissing gospel of the snake. And they say this is an evangelical KJV study Bible. And a KJV is a good version, but they hide in it. Today, the leaven of the Sadducees comes in through unbelieving, liberal, modernistic, antichrist principle of interpretation known as hermeneutics. They scare you with a big word. Hermeneutics is a Greek word meaning principle of interpretation. And when they cannot out-argue the word of God, they hide it in their study notes and say, oh, yes, I love my wife very much. But at the back, there's a mistress staying at Bukit Paso, is it? That's called the Inaikai. Oh, I love my wife very much. And he keeps the mistress. Oh, I love the Bible. This is the truth. And Mary is put secondary, Isaiah's second wife. That is not recorded in the Bible. It's the number one. And so, this is a more subtle thing. That's why I've got to add it in tonight. Not only the leaven of the Pharisees, which is in very many minute things, to bring this leaven of division into the church. Though fundamental. The worst is the leaven of the Sadducees. It comes in 50 study Bibles. And I can tell you that of the 50 study Bibles, many of them using the KJV, I do not know whether there may be as many as the fingers of the hand that are fundamental. We thank God for some of the very good ones, and of the Reformed faith, of the Geneva Bible, study Bible, Defenders Study Bible are very wonderful. So much so that we felt There is a great duty for us to have a 21st century Reformation study Bible. Oh, why do you do that? Somebody said, Life Church got too much money, that's why. And then one said, these small boys, what can they do? We admit before the Lord, we are very small boys. We are very miserable. We are very weak. But if the Spirit of God will move, that we have to make a defense, that we have a new testimony, because there may be good study Bibles and defense study Bibles, but they cannot put in those points to pinpoint and to show those that are erroneous and poisonous in other Bibles. One reason being that some printer will not want to print for you because they are of the ecumenical spirit. But I thank God for my brother. He told me that he's going to England to see the printers of the Trinitarian KJV study Bible, KJV Bibles. The Trinitarian Bible Society has been taking a very strong stand against all these versions, against all these misinterpretations and foul interpretations of the Bible. Praise the Lord, if we make this contact and we have one printer that is willing to print our notes, then by the grace of God, as you pray for us, we would have one half of the battle. If we have all our notes, no printer is willing to print, it will be a great loss. The leavens of the Pharisees and the Sadducees, within the church, outside the church, in all kinds of areas, Satan is swarming around us through all these works of men who do not love the Lord Jesus Christ but themselves, and who make a lot of money out of these Bibles, to tell you the truth. But we must defend the faith and cast out the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Are you a part of this very pertinent work? You can always pray for us. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank thee for tonight. We thank thee that thou hast blessed the Sunset Gospel Hour. How we thank thee for many who have been brought into the truth and they have taken a stand. Tonight we pray thee to speak to some heart here. If they belong to churches that are of the Pharisaic spirit, or do they have the leaven of the Sadducees in their church, that they may come out from among them. And you will be a father to them and to us all. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.